Hey, guys, I actually got what I wanted on this one. We got the New Garden versus Rossi fight. It didn't turn out as well as we wanted, but at least I can think of a million reasons why Joseph New Garden will be happy. Welcome back to Motorsport 101. Well, technically, it's $500,000, but hey, who's counting? But is this just a few $100,000 between friends? Welcome to episode 373 of Motorsport 101, and on this episode, we're going to be going through the IndyCar Sozzo Grand Prix at Road America, my favorite round on the IndyCar calendar every year. I love Road America. I love jokes about deep fried cheese curds and bratwurst. It's a great track. We had a very, I wouldn't say amazing, but I would say certainly a very intriguing tactical race again, just a bit like Detroit we had last week. And we got the matchup we were all kind of hoping for in this one, with New Garden against Rossi. And it was Joseph that came out on top in this one. But we'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But first, let's go around the panel. First up, RJ O'Connell. How are you doing now? Your man's $1 million richer.
Sort of. That's right. Joseph Newgarden has won an additional $1 million for winning all three disciplines of racing. I consider this a huge victory for us. Joseph is going to spend that money responsibly on some amount of baby supplies and, of course, $100 worth of McDonald's. Which, by the way, how would you all spend $100 at McDonald's?
Oh, I have no idea.
You better not be buying for your own damn selves.
I'll take a double triple bossy deluxe on a raft, 4x4 animal style, extra shingles with a shimmy and a squeeze, light axle grease, make it cry, burn it, and let it swim.
He was hiding the pickles. Cam Buckley was hiding the pickles under his tongue the whole time.
He's even got the pickles from last time, too. I would probably just order, just because I could, I would just say, get me $100 worth of nuggets.
Enough to fill the Borg Warner trophy if I could keep it.
There you go. See? You're on my way.
I think I would split it between nuggets. Nuggets, fresh McDonald's French fries, because they're best when they're fresh.
Absolutely.
And some Royale with cheeses. Royales with cheese.
Ooh, good plan. Good plan. I love that Steve in the chat says, skip the filet-o-fish, though.
What kind of podcast do you take us for, Steve?
Don't let him answer that question. Also, King is here as well. How are you doing, King?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thinking, hey, who gets the tax deductible for donating that $500,000 from Dollars and Cherry? That's a lot of money saving taxes right there.
Mm. So, only King would ask, well, what about the taxes on this? Brilliant. I love it. But we're going to be talking all about IndyCar's Grand Prix at Road America. We'll be talking about the main headline fight that dominated pretty much most of the proceedings here, which was obviously Joseph Newgarden and Alex Rossi, the pole sitter, arguably the two strongest dudes around this track. It turns out that, yes, they were in a race with each other for the win. And it's going to be a wild. It was a wild one. We had 5 cautions across the 55 laps.
Say the line. Championship implications.
Yay. All of them. Massive championship implications up and down the field. Marcus Ericsson didn't fluke one. Alex Palou was put in the gravel by accident by Marcus Ericsson. Will Power got speared by Devlin DeFrancesco. There was ramifications up and down the field.
Had all Ward's engine died, except it didn't die. Something else shut off.
Oh, McLaren. It wasn't a good day for our McLaren friends out there. So we'll be talking about all of that. Where Marcus Ericsson fits into all of this. Because, hey, anyone that thought the 500 might have been a fluke, well, second doesn't hurt. just throwing that out there in the midst of the chaos of the Apollo clash and what else. And we'll be talking all about the racecraft in general, because this was a wild one with a lot of varying degrees of negligence, and some of it straight up dirty. We'll talk all about that over the next half an hour plus or so. But basically, you can find us real quick. We're on youtube.com/motorsport101. We're on facebook.com/motorsport101. We're on Twitter at motorsport_101. If you want to follow our personal handles, you can at Harrison101HD, at RJ O'Connell, at Ryan Eric King, and at CBuckley917. You can follow us on Instagram at motorsport101pod for all the updates and all that content. You can also check us out on our website, motorsport101.com, with all of the race reviews and all of our content on the website, including some bonus blogs written by yours truly as well. And if you really, really like us, you can back us financially on Patreon, patreon.com/motorsport101. You can follow us on there for some early access and some perks. You love them. And yeah, thank you very much, anyone that follows us on there. Right, let's get into the IndyCar Grand Prix at Road America. Did it 5 times. I'm going to say it a 6th time. I wanted this New Garden Rossi fight so bad.
I did too.
I was gushing about it at Detroit. I was really hoping we'd get a sick one. We got one. And while it didn't have maybe the pure intensity of a wheel-to-wheel scrap, it was layered in a lot of tactics and intrigue. Rossi did qualify on pole, as mentioned earlier, but he lost the lead due to some brilliant work in the pits from Team Penske and some astonishingly fast outlaps from Newgarden. He at one point had a lead as big as 7 seconds, but Rossi reeled him back in with some undercuts and some very fast laps indeed. It was turning into a bit of a stalemate with Newgarden maybe 3 seconds in front. And then Pato O'Ward's car shuts off with 6 laps to go, forcing a caution.
But don't worry, we're setting up a 5-lap restart, and Elio Castroneves spins it back. Take 2, 3 laps to go. Joseph Newgarden gets the perfect launch at the front. Alexander Rossi gets swarmed by Marcus Ericsson. Just the way she goes sometimes.
Yep, it was a Newgarden-Ericsson-Rossi podium, but not only that for Newgarden, he also would claim the $1 million People's Ready bonus for winning at each type of IndyCar discipline, street track, road track, and oval. In fact, let's not forget, he's the only man in the field to have actually won more than one race this season. He's won 3. He's won at all 3 different disciplines. So he takes the People Ready Force for Good $1 million bonus prize. Half of it goes to charity, and he's given $250,000 to Wags and Walks, which is a dog shelter, and serious fun camps to help a global community with camps and programs serving children with serious illnesses. Good for Joseph, great causes, and of course, hey, an extra $500,000 in the back pocket is pretty nice, if I do say so myself, in the grand scheme of things. But gentlemen, how was that for a fight for the win at the front of the field?
I thought it was okay. I'm thrilled that Joseph Newgarden finally got to live his dream of being Bill Elliott circa 1985, collecting a giant $1 million check. First of all, I want to say that first pit stop really stuck out to me. Penske's pit crews just keep finding a way to put their drivers in position to succeed. That was a subset second stop, and I thought they short filled him, but it wasn't. He just ran a normal stint for the next 15 or so laps. And then Joseph drives a pretty commanding race at the front. It looked like Rossi was going to wheel him in. Maybe it's strange to think that maybe those late cautions might have done more harm than good. I'm not entirely sure, but you know, this wasn't the greatest Road America race in history, but you know, I was pretty entertained by what I saw. And there's championship implications because other than those wins, Joseph Newgarden has been pretty hit or miss all season. And of course, he had a rough month of May. But 9 races left going into a 3-week summer break. Joseph Newgarden's 32 points outside of the championship lead. The drive for title number 3 is still going on because it is Astor Cup season, baby.
It certainly is. I mean, Cam, what did you make of it?
When is Penske going to stop giving their drivers a hard time for the championship by you know, getting good at the Indy 500 again.
I know.
Because it feels like every year, Joseph is out here fighting for the title, even though the Indy 500 is just a big, just a tall, refreshing glass of disappointment.
With plenty of mid.
Plenty of bits to drink. This is an ongoing theme from our last episode. Yeah, we got a fairly good tension race. Not a whole lot as far as wheel to wheel, at least at the front of the field. But yeah, it brings them, you know, we got 9 races left. 32 points is not that big of a gap.
It isn't.
The person right behind him is the guy who he's trying to chase.
It's not ideal, to say the least. It's crazy. I mean, not many of the title contenders coming out of this race had a good day. I mean, we'll get into
only ones were the front two.
Yeah. Marcus Ericsson, good day. Joseph Newgarden, very good day. Very rich day.
Everyone else? Alexander Rossi is slowly inching his way up in the top 10.
Yeah, but he lost ground to the two actually fighting for the title at the front, because there's such a big points gap behind them that I don't know if he can run that down.
He's gained ground to the midfield, but not to the guys he actually wants to beat. Because he's seventh now at 218 points. He's 75 behind championship leader Marcus Ericsson, which is still a weird thing to say. But, I mean, King, how did you find it at the front?
It was definitely very interesting, because after that initial set of cautions, it was Newgarden and Rossi all day at the front. Though that long last stint, it seemed that it was like Rossi was out of it, that the gap stayed around 2 to 3 seconds and there was no way for him to close the distance. And that last caution was that chance for him to try to win the race. But then that initial restart,
he didn't.
Yeah, because Magnussen was right. I mean, because Ericsson was right on him.
I think I also remember during that last round of pit stops, Rossi had come in, and as he was coming out, he had to wait for, of all people, Scott McLaughlin to get into his bots, and that held him up in the pits, and that didn't really help matters.
It didn't. Like, a lot, it was a lot of the little things that came back to bite Rossi on this one. It was the little things like the outlaps on the first stint, the restarts. In general, Joseph nailed every restart he had at the front of the crew.
It wasn't that Rossi got bad restarts. It's just that Joseph Newgarden did not suffer a tragic gear selection issue on the final restart this time.
Oh, don't remind him. I've never seen Joseph as angry as he was after that race. So that he thought that he was going to win on the final lap, as he was stuck in fifth gear. Brutal, brutal, brutal. But hey, like I said, Joseph got a huge dub. He took off. And like I said, the $1 million triple crown bonus goes to him. I said Joseph gets half of that. So, I mean, we didn't get a big crescendo at the end, which would have been the perfect way to round that off. You know, a golden chance for Rossi to really go at Joseph head-to-head at the end of that race. And if anything, it was the complete opposite, because he was caught napping and Marcus Ericsson beat him, even though Rossi had about 40 seconds more push to pass. Marcus still held on to finish in second. But, I mean, I do like these sort of time attack races. It's one of my soft spots as a racing fan, where you get to see two dudes either manage or to drive on their own as fast as they can, lap after lap. And it was tenths, hundredths of a second between them on good chunks of these races on pure pace alone. It was a fascinating race from that regard, at least. And like I said, they're not the most entertaining to watch, but I do find those sorts of battles quite thrilling sometimes in their own way. It's like my little, like, dirty fetish as a racing fan, as weird as that is to say. Because I know a lot of people don't like those sorts of races, but for me, it's one of those kinks for me, I suppose.
Time to add something to my Tinder profile.
Likes time attack races. 6'2", you know, tall, dark, and handsome, etc. I mean, we got to talk a little bit about Marcus Ericsson behind him as well. And Marcus had a day, to say the least. Before he finished in second by stealing Alex Rossi's lunch money at the end of that race, he put his teammate in the gravel, accidentally, but as Richard Hammond would say, very accurately. He took a dive at Alex Palou with one of the early cautions because we have three in the first seven laps. And when Marcus made a late dive at turn three, there was some contact towards the end of the overtake. It broke the suspension link on Palou's car.
Yeah, broke the left front corner on his car.
Yeah, it put Palou in the gravel. He was unable to recover. He had to be towed back to the pits. They got him going again, if there's any other retirements, he may be able to get the odd point here and there. But it essentially ended Palou's day early. It's a body blow for Palou in the title. He's now 47. He's almost an entire race back now from his own teammate in Marcus Ericsson in the number 8 car.
Who hit him?
Oh, boy. But on top of that, yeah, despite all that, Marcus Ericsson comes through in second. It was a very, very good result from gentlemen. What did you make of the past in general? Because it was a very talked about. Palou was angry.
There was still like that very, it didn't sound like a total rageaholic, but that was probably the most upset that I've seen him in his short IndyCar career. But I'd like to think that, you know, after the race, they had a chance to sort that out. It didn't look malicious.
I just think it was cataclysmically unlucky because, nine out of 10 times they bang wheels and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. But this was the 10th time and it broke Palou's car.
Although we did get the meme. We got the meme out of this, and this time it actually applies. Everyone knows the meme.
I hate that it took me like 15 minutes to realize, oh, wait, this isn't Ericsson here, this meme. Oh, let me turn in my F1 fan card now, because I was late to that party, let me tell you. Honestly, I don't think Marcus has too much to answer for regarding that overtake. Was it late? Yeah, a little bit. It was certainly a late move for Marcus to take the inside, but he had the space. Palou left the door open. Marcus put it in there, and I think by the time they hit each other, Marcus has got 3/4 of a car in front.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, that's Marcus's move to complete, and it's Marcus's corner at that point in time. I think Palou probably should have made a business decision and backed out of that a little bit earlier. But it still is unlucky, because like as RJ's completely, I think he's completely right in saying, you know, 9 times out of 10, you bang wheels, that's the end of it.
One corner up the road, Christian Lundgaard hip checks Rinus VK, and they both go on and finish the race.
Yeah.
Christian Lundgaard finished 10th, by the way. Congratulations to Ray Hall, Lennerman, Lanigan Racing. You have finally showed up this year.
Oh, dear.
You showed up this year, and you're worse than you were last year. Congratulations.
It's weird. We dissed them 1 week ago for having questions about their 3-car expansion. So, of course, they get 2 cars in the top 10 next time round. Way to go, guys. Way to go, everybody. I mean, look, it's... Regarding Marcus, like I said, I don't think he's got a lot to answer for in that one. I think it was a hard move, but I think it was a reasonably fair one. I think, again, Palou was unlucky. I can understand why he'd be frustrated. It was a hard move, especially on a teammate, and especially that early on, but I think a lot of that is just racing driver semantics. It's like, you're my teammate! Oh, it's early for that sort of pass. And I'm like, well... No, it's like the unwritten rules are unwritten for a reason, personally. but, you know, I think Palou should have backed out of that a bit earlier. I think it was a bit silly that he tried to stick it in there and just stay around the outside and hope for the best. I mean, Marcus was winning that fight. There is no getting around it at that point. But overall title credentials, he's not going away, folks. I mean... I love to watch. Yeah, go.
Unfortunately, There was a different title leader going into this race, but his day was more or less destroyed from very early on. King, I'm going to let you take this one.
Oh, man. So, well, not a title leader. One, Jimmy Johnson. Like, should we even spend time on this? Turn three at Road America, which, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it is turn two. But turn three, Jimmy at the back of the field thinks, hey, I could, you know, cheekily pick up a position. Well, or at least stay as close to the front as I can. Just let me pull alongside Tatiana Calderon. Oh, wait, she's moving to the track edge, and there was only enough room for one car, and that room is gone. Looks like I'm going to have to head off into the grass now. Whoops, I just stalled my car. Someone please help me.
What did you make about the one afterwards where your good friend, your sim racing
colleague,
partner in crime, Devlin DeFrancesco, spears the championship leader going down the hill into turn five?
That incident where like his justification that, oh, Will was racing me hard in three, then the run down to five, you know, I went to the outside, moved to the inside. I've done the move before, he says.
Like, I don't know if you can tell here, but Ryan King is trying really, really hard not to say what he really thinks about this incident, because many swear words were discussed as this exchange happened. In fact, I'll let you in on a little secret. On our Discord, one of our supporters literally changed their account name after this incident to, quote, fuck Devlin DeFrancesco.
Oh, my God.
Was it Zoe?
No, it was James Calantis, actually. James, one of our Patreon backers. James, good man. Thanks for backing us. There's your shout-out for the day.
It was a zero. It was a negative percentage move. Will was in the middle of the track. Devlin had no way around him, so instead he drove through him.
Yeah, and Devlin's defense is that Will moved. If he did, it wasn't like by a lot. Like it was negligible.
The thing is, like, Devlin didn't just like he didn't borderline miss this. He missed this by half a foot.
Yeah. So like if Will say moved and, you know, Devlin, you know, goes outside back inside to make the move, you'd assume that Will turned into him. No. Devlin goes straight into the back of him.
Yep. Straight into the back, puts power in the wall, loses his entire front and wing. Drops him to the back of the field because of the caution and having to get his front wing changed. He would eventually go on to finish 19th. But on top of that, Power extracted some revenge later on in the race. Now, like, what we thought was funny about IndyCar's pre-race coverage about this race was the conversion of Willpower into, quote, the Zen Master.
The new, calmer, chiller, more relaxed Willpower.
Yeah, striving. I get what they're coming from, but lol.
It's like, you know, from being angry and throwing his gloves at Detroit last year when his car stalled and it cost him what probably would have been the win, and, you know, to this year where he's head bobbing and weaving, you know, the locks are on full display, he's all chilled about it, and I love that the radio message in the middle of that race was, you wait till I see this guy. And I thought, gentlemen, I think you can relate to this one better than me because you're all much bigger NASCAR fans than me. Do you remember when Jeff Gordon said to Clint Bowyer, I'm getting his ass?
that's kind of how it felt. And while I do not agree with Will's behavior on track, I did find it absolutely hilarious, so I allow it.
Yes, because
the thing is, like, I think we can say across the board, on-track aggression has been high this year in IndyCar.
Massively.
It has.
Like, there is no one... Y'all can talk about Romain Grosjean all you want. No one has been innocent here.
Hey, by the way, I at least respect willpower. Even if you don't agree with the little tap of the cooldown lap, at least he's not all bark, no bite, Graham Rahal with Romain Grosjean right beside him. He could game end his race like he said he was going to after Barber, and he just lets
Romain Romain Grosjean put him in a hurt locker.
Oh, Lord. Look. Brackets.
Be about it.
Brackets. We don't actually endorse retaliatory action in race car driving in general, but we do find it funny on occasion. We don't endorse it, but it's way funnier if you just ignore that side of your brain. Okay, cool. Carry on.
Just shut off that part of your brain. Yeah, yeah. Romain Grosjean pulled up next to him, said "bitch," and drove by.
I don't know. I saw a man get scoop pile driven in the back of a car at Bowman Gray Stadium this weekend. nothing I saw out of that IndyCar race could ever top that amount of unhinged aggression.
No, definitely not.
You ever unbuckle your seatbelt to flip someone off through the other side of your car?
It takes some effort. No, I was going to say, like, regarding power, if I'm being slightly serious for just a moment here, you can't do what Willpower did. Don't be that person. Do not retaliate on track like that by using your car as a weapon.
Yeah, especially an open walker.
Especially in open wheel cars. Don't do that. It's not fun. It's not clever. And honestly, Power probably should have been handed a severe penalty for that, because you can't do that. That was completely unnecessary. However, it is funny.
It is funny. Like,
easier solution for all of us. We could simply remove Devlin DeFrancesco, because the man's wheel-to-wheel racing has been...
Like, ideally, in that situation...
Horrible.
You just wait till you get back to pit lane, you unstrap, you get out the car, wait for Devlin to get back to pit lane, and he unstraps and gets out of your car. Then you throw hands.
Yeah. I would much rather see them engage in actual fisticuffs in the back of the garage. I would feel much less guilty about the situation if Willpower simply gave him a scoop pile driver on top of the back of Devlin's car. Like, that would be hilarious. And afterwards, he could still pretend like he's the Zen master. Afterwards, say, that was fine, you know. I've not seen him yet, but I'm sure we'll talk it out. It'll be absolutely fine.
He didn't hit me, and that's what's most important.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, and I love the Jason in the chat also suggests, one, Goldberg would be proud, and two, Will versus Devlin in a Hell in a Cell match. We did just have the pay-per-view.
I'm picking Willpower 10 out of 10 times.
Oh, yeah. Willpower is like the sort of guy that if he snaps is just going to pile driver you. I wouldn't recommend.
I don't know. If you bring Kurt Angle in with a milk truck, this equation changes dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
We know Will's lactose intolerant.
Oh, God. It's a huge weakness. You can't have that. I mean, Cam made a good point about all of this as well. Is it just me, or is IndyCar getting more and more aggressive? Because, like, the hip check into the grass is now, by all accounts, a legal move. And I just...
Basically all year.
Like, I'm not sure if I agree with that, personally.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit of it, you don't want to add too much, right?
It's getting a little old.
It is. We saw this a lot at the GMR Grand Prix of Indy, where, like, I think it was Rinus VK that was put on the grass.
And I think Scott at one point, Scotty Mac.
Yeah, McLaughlin did as well, where, like, it's now okay to hip check someone into the grass if you run out of road, and that's now legal in IndyCar, as far as I'm aware, and I don't like that racecraft. I don't like... That's too far for me, personally. To be fair,
I like that you can bump a little and it's not going to destroy your race. I think we all agree that. I think some people wish Formula One was more like that most times.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do get the worry that, like, this could descend into full British touring car championship banger racing.
Yeah,
or chain racing at Bowman Gray, who knows?
Yeah, I had a good friend, Susan, who's on our Discord server, talk to me about this and was just like, yeah, this, you just don't, it's like, when the Grosjean-Rahal incident from Barber came up, it was like, I think Grosjean likes to take advantage of the fact you can bump and bang a bit more in these cars compared to Formula One cars when he was over in that season. I was like, yeah, you're probably spot on in that regard, because the way the cars are, you can do this a bit more. You can be a bit more aggressive compared to Formula One. And so I'm not, like, massively against all of this, but I do, you know, want to acknowledge that this seems a bit much. Like, Rinus VK, for example, was in the walls this race regarding that. Him and Lundgaard. Lundgaard just straight up body checked him into the grass. And it was A-OK, and Lundgaard would finish 10th on the day. His best finish in IndyCar to date.
Yeah, it's like, I personally, again, don't like it. Though I wouldn't straight, like, if someone does it, they get a penalty or something, I'd probably give out a warning if they do an aggressive move like that, just so they know, hey, calm it down. And if they continue to do that, then start handing out penalties.
Nuance, can get out of here.
The problem is, I'm not sure IndyCar's rulebook allows for, because they don't do time penalties. Like, so it's like,
you can ask them to give the position back.
Yeah.
Okay, that could work.
And then they just go and just hip check it again.
It's like
then they get the stop and go.
Yeah, because that is what Devlin got for putting Will Power onto the grass.
Like,
or to the wall, I should say.
Like, understandable penalty because Will was still in the race. But if Will Power had to retire from the race due to that incident, like, it felt like that was a light penalty.
Yeah.
For how severe the incident was.
Yep.
Yeah, because an IndyCar stop-and-go penalty is literally stop in your box and then go again. It's not like Formula One where you got to park it for 10 seconds first.
Well, you can get one or the other in F1. We've seen stop-and-goes, and we've seen timed stop-and-goes.
Yeah. Right.
Depending on severity. This one, I was fine with it being a stop-and-go, but man, it just looks so amateur.
It does. It was Bush League from Devlin on that one. He's like, this is not iRacing. You can't just weave three times down a back straight and then send it down the inside of someone and not expect the guy in front to defend himself somewhat. That's kind of how motorsport works. You know, you're not Barry Sanders on the football field where you can just spin and juke everybody. You've got to pick a line and stick to it eventually. Just amateur hour, really, from Devon on that one. And yeah, I'm not sure how far you go along the line of punishments for that one, especially if Powell was unable to continue. He was, like I said, he was able to finish 19th on the day, but oof. Not sure I agree with that one, per se. I think that could have been harsher. And honestly, like, Power should have probably had the same for next round for the way he retaliated towards the end of that race, because that's out of order. You can't do that. That is completely
unnecessary. Dude, just get out of the car and flip in the double bird.
Yeah, that way you'll just get fined. That's the end of the matter, you know? Like, we almost had Sage Karam fight Ed Carpenter a few years ago. That's what I'd rather see than like hip checks on cooldown laps.
Well, like, look, you're telling me you wouldn't want to see Sebastian Bourdais and Paul Tracy beat the shit out of each other?
We did see them. We should see it more. They got a shove in.
Shoving is not fighting. Shoving is the tool of the coward. You throw a closed fist like a real man.
With your helmet off, etc., etc.
Yeah. Oh, dear. But, yeah, not ideal. Not particularly at all. I mean, before we get out of here, gents, as well, like, do you see a future for the title for Marcus?
Maybe, if he keeps it going.
If he hangs on through July.
You cannot ignore this guy going forward. His only misstep, real misstep this year, was at Long Beach. And before he put it in the wall and almost took out Scott Dixon, he was still running third.
Yeah.
He was.
But at the same time, I don't really think Rossi's in it, but Newgarden is doing his patented post-Indy 500 run.
And the beat 'em down tour.
Everyone should be scared of that.
Yeah, I love the fact that last week when we talked about Detroit, King talked about the table. We are coming up to that point. IndyCar is an hour on break for the next 3 weeks. IndyCar will not be back until July 3rd at Mid-Ohio. I guess you could call it their summer break, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
They're back on July 3rd at Mid-Ohio. We have 5 races in the month of July. Let me just point this out here. Like July at Mid-Ohio, then Toronto, the first summer in Toronto in 3 years on the 17th. Then 2 races at Iowa as an oval doubleheader, one 250-mile race, one 300-mile race at Iowa over the July 23rd, 24th weekend, and then the second Grand Prix at Indianapolis, hopefully without rain and lightning this time, on July 30th. And even then, the week after that, they race in Nashville again. So after we come back, we have 6 races in 6 weeks.
Oh, my Lord.
God help us all on that one. Whoever comes through that block of July on top, I think, has got a serious chance at the title. There's a little bit of everything in there. You've got road courses, street courses, and 2 ovals in there, too. It's going to be a hell of a block, and it's going to be a fun one. I look forward to seeing how that turns out. Remember, Marcus Ericsson with a 27-point lead in the championship now over Will Power and Joseph Newgarden right there, 32 back as well. Also, Paul went out for Pato O'Ward, whose car just died with 6 laps to go when he was running, I think, 5th.
In the championship.
This time it wasn't even McLaren. It wasn't even his fault.
No. Yeah,
electrical issues.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Not many title contenders had a good day on this one. It was a bit of a bloodbath in IndyCar on this one, on and off the track, metaphorically and literally. It was a wild one, but a very fun one. As said, IndyCar back in 3 weeks' time. We'll see you in July for the 200 at Mid-Ohio, or as we like to call it, Dixon Land. Maybe Dixon can save his title run if he takes a dominant win there or something, because that'll be fun. Also, I love that Zoe on a Discord server tagged me and said, quote, one, SRX time, that's going to be a fun one as well, watching that. And two, correction, it was Ed fighting Sage. Well, you're right on that one. It was Ed Carpenter trying to scrap it out with someone half his age.
They both wanted to fight each other.
I love that Ed, even though he was old enough to be Sage Karam's dad, thought, I'm going to take on this collegiate wrestler and see what happens. Because when you want to fight that badly, you throw all logic out of the window. I love it. Ed Carpenter, true scrapper. We love to see it.
If I drank straight buttermilk, I want to fight people too.
He almost got me on that wagon. Thank God he didn't win the 500. So like I said, IndyCar back next time. For that next episode, I believe will be MotoGP's German Grand Prix. And I say it with sadness, for the first time in 11 years, we will not have Marc Marquez win the German Grand Prix. That's a sentence in and of itself, isn't it? My word.
He's still gone perfect when he's participated.
Yeah!
I'm holding out hope. Something will happen. Next thing you know, Marc Marquez is out there kicking it like on a kick scooter.
He's out there swimming today in his sling, in his cast. He's living a better life than he was 3 weeks ago.
And that's good. If all else fails, he can have like the mechanical enhanced arm like Will Smith's character in iRobot. Because why not? And apparently, according to the breaking news you just got in our chat, Miguel Oliveira will reveal his future on Thursday.
Drama.
Next time
you're taking my talents to South Beach.
I'm taking my talents to the new motorcycle racing league funded by the PIF.
No. What are we doing Thursday? Let's live stream our reaction.
We're gonna live stream our reaction.
I'm doing nothing. I'm out of work for a week with COVID.
We're going to sit down on our Discord. We're going to watch as Miguel Oliveira announces he's marrying another stepsister. I I've been Dre Harrison. Basically, you can find us one more time. We're on youtube.com/motorsport1. I think I just killed Cam. I think so. I'm taking some doing. Facebook.com/motorsport101. We're on Twitter, motorsport_101. Our personal handles at Harrison101HD and RJ O'Connell and Ryan Eric King. I would say follow Cam at CBuckley917, but I don't think there's going to be updates for a little while. Have fun with that one. We're on our website, motorsport101.com, our Patreon, patreon.com/motorsport101, and our Instagram page is on there as well, motorsport101pod. Follow us on there. We'll be back for the German Grand Prix, the non-Marc Marquez edition. Until then, I've been Dre Harrison, they've been RJ O'Connell, Ryan Eric King, and Cam Buckley. Sayonara. And has anybody got a defibrillator for Cam? Anyone?
Bitch, I don't need it.
God, he's back! Shit!
Later, y'all.
Bye.
I put my headset down and I just walked and I just threw my ass in bed. And then I came back.
Was that too far? Not far enough? I don't know.
Just right.
Just right. Beautiful.
We've been totally unhinged.
Jason really just put in our chat the decision, Alabama edition.